4 minutes past 11 on a Thursday morning, and I have a very special guest in studio with me now. We've known each other for a while. Steph Wills has been part of the Lifestyle Center and the Bolito Firmament for, well, a good few years. And it all started here with a health shop. But before you even begin, Steph, let me welcome you to the Dave Charles Show, brought to you proudly by Bidvest McCarthy, Toyota Bolito. Lovely to have you on the show this morning.
Thank you.
Now, I know that you are originally from Zimbabwe. Do you have happy memories of Zimbabwe?
I do. Very happy memories.
Did you go to school there?
I did. I finished school and then we left after that.
Was it during the Troubles or after the Troubles?
No, during. We sort of stuck it out. But then, yeah, when I was 17, 18, my family were done. So.
And you came to South Africa?
My parents moved here. My mom is South African. My dad's Zimbabwean. And then I went to Australia for 3 years to study after school.
And you studied art in Australia?
I studied art, yeah, fine art.
So are you a fine artist?
I'd say I am creative in what I do, but I don't practice painting or sculpture or anything, unfortunately, as much as I'd like to anymore. But yeah. Maybe one day.
But what you do in terms of your day-to-day activity is very artistic, and I suppose in a sense it all plays into the same channel. So Australia, you didn't fancy staying in Australia?
Listen, it was a wonderful adventure. I had some family, but they were in Sydney. I studied in Perth, and I think I'm African at heart. So as much as I loved the experience, I think I had a strong pull to come back here, to be in Africa and to be back with my family.
Because family's close. Your family is very,
very close. I'm pretty much related to half of Bolito. So.
Well, you see, it's lovely. It takes a village, they say.
Yeah.
And Bolito used to be that village.
Yes.
But it's grown a lot.
It has.
Are you sad about that, or do you welcome it?
I welcome it. I think, you know, I have so many new beautiful friends that come from all over the world and, different parts of South Africa. I think Bolito is attracting so many people. We have the most beautiful weather and the lifestyle here is just unbeatable. So, it's all part of growth and change.
And now that you have a family, you can see the advantages of
For sure. I wouldn't want to raise my kids anywhere else.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
But we're jumping the gun maybe a little bit because from Australia, you worked in a health shop in Australia.
I did. Well, good memory.
Well, let me say, I have done my research. I know you better than you know yourself. Was that what possibly persuaded your mum to buy into a health business in Bolito?
No, she definitely was on her own health journey. So my aunt was diabetic. So my grandmother, always very health conscious. She was quite alternative. So they grew up very health conscious. And my mom had made some connections in Zim. And then when she moved here, out of her own frustration of not getting the health products and things she wanted, that sort of led her to pursue the purchase of Lifestyle Health. And then, after my experience of working in the health store in Australia and realizing that season had come to an end, it just was such a beautiful fit that I could come back here and work with her.
And were you instrumental in some of the changes that took place? Because your mum bought a health store, which was okay. It was, I remember it back in the day.
No, it was average.
But I didn't want to say that because I don't like to offend. But but when you guys took it over, it literally was a game changer.
Yeah.
And suddenly there was a reason to go to the health store.
For sure.
And then you moved in the center, which is very interesting because your original location is kind of around where Byra Alta, I think, or that restaurant. Don't you remember it?
No, I think I had come.
Was it before your time?
It was before my time.
Okay,
yeah.
So you moved across to closer to the Super Spa precinct, and that was when things really started to happen in the health store.
Yeah.
And one thing that really started to happen in the health store was the introduction of smoothies from heaven. and it was a thing that suddenly you could buy the most extraordinary smoothies at Lifestyle Health. And I have an idea that that's where we're going to go next. But right now, let's just take a little musical interlude to give you a chance to gird your loins for what comes next, the story of the proper smoothie. And we're back with my special guest, Steph Wills, who is the proprietor, proud proprietor of Proper Smoothies. We alluded to that on the first conversation we had. But now I want to go into the history and the raison d'être. How did you come up with a smoothie that is so delicious and so good for you in a kind of health shop? This is an interesting story, I'm sure.
Yeah, so I think the smoothie journey was a reflection of my own. I, being interested in health and nutrition, wanted to just try every diet, every health fad, health trend. And I think with all those experiments, let's say, I found that a smoothie can fit into almost any diet, pretty much, yeah, any diet. And it was just exciting for me. And I think that's where the creativity came in of how to, yeah, use ingredients, because some of these diets are super restrictive, how to use ingredients within that sphere and make it taste good, because, yeah.
You were one of the first people I know that went on a raw food course.
Yes.
I know that because my beloved Sue was on the same course, yes. And I was amazed at how good raw food or raw food cuisine could be.
For sure.
Who knew? I
mean, who knew?
But
exactly.
There it is. Did that help on the journey?
Definitely. I think it was such an inspiration just to see that we have all these amazing ingredients in nature, and what the raw food courses sort of taught us was how to combine them, how to process them in a way where it maintains nutrition but enhances the flavor. So it was.
What were some of the surprises that you discovered in terms of ingredients that shouldn't really make you think about ingredients that really and truly are probably vegetable?
Yes.
And yet they end up in a delicious smoothie that is definitely a sweet treat, if one could put it this way.
For sure. I mean, yeah, one of our smoothies is a keto smoothie, so it fits into those very low carb diets, and the base of it is actually cauliflower, which when people hear that, they immediately go, oh no, that's not for me. But in the processing of it, in the sense that you actually steam it, freeze it, it takes away that sort of harshness of the taste. And then if you combine it with coconut and peanut butter and vanilla, it actually becomes the most delicious flavor combination. And you wouldn't tell that it's cauliflower based.
Well, isn't the cauliflower just one of those wonderful creatures that has been rediscovered and reinvented? Because now get pizza bases, mm-hmm, made
cauli mash.
The mash is
cauliflower bread.
really? Bread?
Yeah,
is
homegrown. Dawn sells one. It's delicious.
So there it is. What other vegetables do you combine in the smoothie that work?
So, I mean, yeah, again, one of the big inspirations for a lot of my flavors and smoothies were my kids. And my first child ate everything. The second child was very fussy, didn't like vegetables. So we actually came up with a smoothie that in one smoothie, there was cauliflower, sweet potato, butternut, and avocado. I mean, I know avocado is a fruit, but we managed to combine all of those in a smoothie that he ate and loved. So you can.
It's interesting that you say avocado is a fruit, and technically it is, but I've always treated it as a vegetable, and it's a kind of a savory thing. Yeah, I've enjoyed an avocado with salt and vinegar, for example, in the past, and it has that almost umami tang. But you turn it into something sweet, which is magnificent. And there it is. So the proper smoothie started off fairly modestly. You made batches to order and a few available in store. And then it started to grow.
Yeah.
On that journey.
Well, I mean, it actually happened, almost by accident proper. And then Tash B from Pilates, everyone knows her. She was one of the first people that saw, because I had made these creations at home and I was posting them on Instagram. And Instagram was sort of like, relatively new at that stage, giving away my age here. And Tash saw one and she said, I want to order one of those. Actually, she wanted to order 12 for a staff event they were having. So she was one of the first people that actually then wanted to order. And it was a hit people were like, where can we get these? So it did start off organically. My mom obviously was really kind to let us sell them in her store, in the sense that people would order and then they'd fetch from her store. Link Church was another one. And then, yeah, I think because they were beautiful as well as tasty and good for you. And as I said, Instagram was a thing. People just started posting and it almost became this like sensation. And then more and more people saying, where can I get? Where can I get? I mean, I had a list of people on my phone and we'd send out a broadcast on a Sunday to say, this is the flavor of the week. And immediately my phone would go crazy and people would order and we'd have to cap it because I could only make, I think the most I ever made in a day was 80. And I used to make them before my kids woke up because we started proper when Pax was 4 months old.
Wow.
So I was making all of these smoothies before they woke up.
It must have been terribly exciting, suddenly getting almost viral response to you. And everyone loving the product and wanting to buy. The challenge, of course, as you've just alluded to, is great to have the orders, but you've got to make them.
Yeah.
And it was just you initially.
Just me in my kitchen at home. Yeah, it was quite a thing. I think I managed 2 years doing it by myself and then it just got too much. I think the tipping point was when we had a freezer in our lounge to store all the bananas and all the ingredients that I needed to keep. And that sort of prompted us to make the move to a factory space.
And from there, you became a retail outlet on your own brand, proper. Your husband joined the business?
Yes. Yeah, proper wouldn't be where it is without him. I'm the creative and but he is the business brain. And he's, the ideas guy. So he often throws things at me saying, why don't you try this? What about this? So he's come up with a lot of the innovations and then I've sort of made them happen.
And what are the innovations? I was going to ask you about that because it's great to have a winning recipe, but when everyone gets used to it and then, it's the same old thing. You have to innovate in any business.
Sure.
You need to stay fresh and fabulous. What are some of the innovations that you've introduced?
Well, I think, the biggest one for us was moving to our sort of pre-made smoothie packs where people could make them at home. We had such a big need. You know, not everyone had access to ordering and fetching a smoothie on a certain day or time. So, a lot of people wanted to make their own smoothies at home, their own combinations. So, we then moved into, what we call our smoothie blocks, which we sort of did the flavor and the combination for you, but then you could take them home, put in your blender, and then just add ice and your liquid of choice and you could blend a smoothie and it would taste exactly the same as if I made it.
That's unusual. You're kind of giving away your secrets in that sense, but people preferred to buy from you rather than going to
and
the supermarket.
And then I think what made that product exciting was that coffee shops or, outlets that wanted to offer smoothies to their customers, they could take our product and use it in their cafe or, as I said, coffee shop, because the smoothie takes 30 seconds to blend. So it's really convenient and it's pre-portioned.
Quick to blend, quick to make, but then you've got to store it and transport it. And all of those challenges, which are big challenges for a small business and ramping up to be able to meet demand, because another terrible thing is creating a demand that you can't fulfill. That would be a problem.
Yeah. So I think we added staff. To help with the production because I couldn't do it on my own. And then, my husband and I are the delivery team.
But still very hands-on.
Very hands-on. We're still growing. I'd say we're still a small business in the grand scheme of things. But, as I said, my husband's the business brain.
Are there plans to go bigger?
Yes. Yeah. Wow. So we've actually now moved away from our smoothie blocks to what we've called our smoothie tubes, just because the blocks process took 2 days to make, whereas the tubes are a lot faster and quicker. So we've got plans to upscale.
You also have another string to your bow. You're a yogi. Is that right?
That's correct.
And we'll find out about that on the flip side. It's 25 minutes past 11 o'clock on a Thursday. And you're on the Dave Charles Show, brought to you proudly by Bidvest McCarthy Toyota Bolito. I'm with my special guest, Steph Wills. Steph from Proper Smoothies, but Now we're going to be talking about Steph the yogi. Is that the right term for a yoga instructor?
Yeah. Like it's, yeah, a yogi.
It reminds me of Yogi Bear, before your time, I'm sure. Where did your interest in yoga come from?
So as I mentioned before, my alternative grandmother, I used to love going and staying with her. So she had a farm inland, Wartburg Harburg area. My grandparents were sugarcane farmers. So I'd often go and stay with her, and she once took me to a yoga class. I think I was about 15, 16 years old. And in the class, I saw my granny stand on her head and do a headstand. And yeah, I made the decision I wanted to do whatever this practice is. So that sort of started the love, and the prompting to pursue it. So I've practiced yoga since then. I practiced with Helen Weaver, when I first moved to Bolito, and then, did my yoga teacher training through Lauren Lewin. She is now, she used to have the yoga studio, which was a heated yoga studio. And then, yeah, now I practice or I teach at Kayashala, which is, yeah.
And that is on Claremont Farm.
Yeah.
Very close to our friend Judd's little pizza emporium. Yes. In fact, next door on the same property. Lovely. There's a coffee shop there for those that want to just enjoy the garden and wait for the yoga class to finish. But there was not always great acceptance for yoga in Bolito. I remember when we first arrived here some 20-odd years ago, it was quite tough for yoga teachers to find classes because there was almost a fear that it was a kind of religion almost, or a practice that was anti-mainstream religion. There was that feeling that, and a lot of folk for many years continued to almost avoid even talking about something like yoga, and then it became acceptable. It was strange. What do you think changed?
I think I think a lot of it is misconception, and yoga does obviously have a history and there's a strong cultural element to it, but I think it's whatever you make of it. So for me, I'm an A-type, extremely overthinker, active mind. So yoga for me is a very calming, centering practice. And I love the movement involved in it. So it's very fluid, almost like dancing, and you can kind of lose yourself in it. So, and I think what I love so much is you can arrive in one state of mind, one state of being, and then you can leave an hour later feeling like a different person.
And do you get a workout?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And yet it's very gentle.
So yes, there's varying types of yoga. So you can make it as gentle or as hard as you'd like it to be. So we always, when we teach, we always offer variations. So it can be beginner friendly, or if you're a seasoned yogi, as we say, we offer then variations. So everyone can sort of follow along in the class, but you take it to where.
At the level that you.
Yeah.
And for people that have injuries or disability, I don't like that word, but differently abled, shall we say.
Yeah. As I said, there's always variations.
You can work around.
There's props, there's,
It's wonderful, and it's, as you say, incredibly centering and very peaceful. Have you been to the Buddhist retreat?
I haven't. I've heard
Ikkorpo.
Of it.
It's the most wonderful place.
But I've heard of it, yeah.
Wonderful place, and you don't have to be a Buddhist to go. In fact, very few people that go are, as far as I'm aware. But it's just something that if you're a yogi, I think it would be a wonderful opportunity for you to spread your wings and become more famous as opportunities present themselves. But you're very famous already at Kayashala, and you're doing a class on Saturday.
This Saturday I'm teaching. So I teach once a month on a Saturday, but my regular class is on a Friday, 8:15.
Oh, so you have a regular class at Kayashala.
Yeah.
And clearly, if anyone listening would like to enroll, how does one go about that?
So you can just, all their details are on all the social media platforms. And then if you jump onto Mindbody, the Mindbody app, you can search for Kayashala, and then, the bookings can be made through the app.
strongly recommend it. I've seen how beautiful it can be. I have even, as I say, been to the Buddhist retreat and done a little yoga myself. Awesome. I know I lied to you earlier, so it's not for me. I'd love it, but I'm just not very flexible. So.
And that's why you need to come.
Maybe I'll see you there. No promises, but you never can tell. You're never too old, are you?
Never.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, no, my grandmother practiced yoga. I think she stopped maybe a few months ago, but she's 92. So, yeah.
Just goes to show.
Yeah.
Wow. So proper smoothies, yoga, family. Mm. Are you happy?
So happy, Dave. I'm so grateful for where I live, the community I have around me, what I do. I'm very grateful.
And it shows. And it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show this morning.
Thank you.
I look forward to reconnecting maybe at yoga on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to hold you to that.
Steph Wills, my very special guest on the Dave Charles Show. And the show continues.